8 o'clock. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. The most trusted name in automobiles. So we're down to three finalists for the Broncos job. Dan Quinn, former Atlanta Falcons head coach, Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, current Green Bay Packers offensive coordinator, former OC in Jacksonville and Buffalo, and then Kevin O'Connell, former journeyman quarterback, OC of the Los Angeles Rams, will be playing in Sunday's NFC Championship game on the team. So those are the three that George Payton and his search committee have narrowed their focus in on. We'll start out with this. Buckeye, who do you want to see the Broncos hire?
Out of those three, can I pass?
Probably nope, those are your three choices.
Probably Dan Quinn.
Okay.
Because they can't go first timer three in a row, I don't think. I just don't think that's the right way to go. And, you know, they've leaned hard on the defense, and I think that's a way they're going to go. And I feel that they think they can just find a guy to run the offense. That's just kind of the vibe I get.
So that's who you want. Now, I mean, I know you're not a Broncos fan, but if you were a Broncos fan, knowing, because you know the lay of the land well, you study it.
That's who I would want.
Okay. I'm going to go with Nathaniel Hackett. And here's the reason why. I want an offensive mind. I want a guy that's, well, you referenced some of the numbers. Some are good.
Mm-hmm.
Some are not so good. They've been great in Green Bay. But then again, how much of that is Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur? Totally right. Understand that. Everything I read about him, I like the energy that he brings. I don't know if I wanted to be Ted Lasso, because that's a lot of people made that comparison to Ted Lasso.
Right.
But I think the franchise needs a guy that's got some energy to him. There's a vibe in the building. It's a younger vibe. He's 42. He's had experience as a coordinator of this league. Offense has been the lacking part of this team for a while now. I would like it to be Hackett of the three.
Now, I could totally understand why.
Now, being a first-year coach, that concerns me. But then going down the road with another defensive-minded coach for a third straight time, I'm not so sure that's great either. So, now, who do you think it will end up being?
I think it'll be Dan Quinn, because I get the feeling that, you know, George Payton is...
He values relationships, and he knows Dan Quinn from their days in Miami.
That's true. And, you know, he's brought in a lot of guys, both front office, coaching staff, and not necessarily coaching staff, but players from places he's been and people he knows, right? It was anytime the Vikings released a player, he's the next Denver Bronco. That's what it felt like when George Payton first came aboard. I don't think he wants to go with a young head coach. And just as a studier of the franchise, even their first-timers were not young head coaches outside of Josh McDaniels. And that didn't work out. And there's still a lot of angst in the fan base over that situation. You know? And I just think I have this gut feeling it's going to be Dan Quinn. And I know that, you know, they want a offensive guy, and they want to build the offense. I just feel that they're going to continue the trend of building on that defense. They saw that it won Super Bowl 50. It's good again. They just need an offense that's complementary. And I feel like they think that they can find a guy to run the offense, which is easier said than done.
Right.
But I've seen a lot of, maybe it's the, who's the passing game coordinator guy? The Getsy guy?
Luke Getsy. Yeah, maybe he's the quarterback's coach.
He's the OC.
Right.
Dan Quinn is your head coach. I've seen a lot of that pop up the last 2 days.
And I think that's probably what it's going to be. I think it's going to be Dan Quinn.
I think so.
And I think they've interviewed Luke Getsy. Getsy, this would be a promotion to get the chance to be an OC.
Mm-hmm.
He's absorbed a lot of knowledge from Matt LaFleur and Nathaniel Hackett. I think that they feel like they can bring in the young, bright offensive mind. Joe Brady, while it didn't work out with Carolina necessarily, I think there's people that still value what
their
he did.
Their next OC is not going to work out either. Yeah. Ben McAdoo, pass.
Yeah, good luck on that. I just think that that's the formula for George Payton that he feels the most comfortable with. A head coach that has taken a team to a Super Bowl, is still one
as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, is not going to let the defense fall to the wayside, because that's still the strength of this football team. And they'll bring in a young, bright offensive mind. But now the quarterback situation, that's still. Mm-hmm. You could get whoever. You could get Bill Walsh to come in. Clone Bill Walsh to be the OC, and if he doesn't have a quarterback to do what he needs to do to implement his offense,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter.
And on the other side of that, I'll throw a name out in regards to Luke Getsy, Adam Gase. Remember, he was the quarterback coach when Peyton Manning was throwing the ball all over the yard, and he got not one but two head coaching jobs because
he was the OC.
He was quarterback's coach under Mike McCoy for a little bit, too.
And then he took over as the OC.
But, you know, hey, look at this offense.
Yeah.
A bright young guy and fizzled out and then flamed out.
And that's entirely possible
here. That's a worry with Luke Getsy, but I feel people aren't going to remember history when they don't want to. Right? Just there is a long line of guys that weren't very good without their star quarterback. And Mike McCoy, Adam Gase, you know, some of them have been Broncos assistants. And when you go out and hire guys, people tend to forget about that history and don't take it into account. Or even don't even bother to think about it. It's just a worry that I have, is that they're going to hire the young quarterback coach in Green Bay, who the one guy who he's had to coach up has looked like hot garbage in Jordan Love. And the guy he doesn't really have to coach up didn't look great last weekend either. So,
well, one of the positives, though, about Getsy, though, say it is Luke Getsy that's mm-hmm. the offensive coordinator. It's Dan Quinn as the head coach. One of the positives about Getsy is that he's not just a guy that's worked with quarterbacks and that's it. He's been a wide receivers coach. He was a Packers wide receivers coach in 2016, 2017. He was a play caller OC at Mississippi State in 2018. Came back to be the Packers quarterbacks coach in 2019. He's also been their pass game coordinator, which means working with, obviously, not just the quarterback, but with the wide receivers as well. That he's had exposure to different parts of the offense. And that's a plus for him. It's not just about quarterback play. It's how those other parts, particularly wide receivers,
right,
how that interacts and how that's obviously a huge part of your passing game. And so I think that's a positive for Luke Getsy. Is he Adam Gase? I don't know. I don't want to say that about him, because Adam Gase has turned into an absolute disaster. He's a weird guy, too. He's an odd guy.
He's an odd dude, yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't want to say, well, Luke Getsy is going to be the next Adam Gase. He could very well be. He could he could come to Denver if that's how this works out, where Dan Quinn is the head coach. Getsy, the Broncos liked him during the interview process for the head coaching position. Hey, here's an opportunity to come here and be an offensive coordinator, be a play caller. But I'd like to think that with some of his experience, that would be a good hire. It's a good candidate to take a chance on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we got a text just now from Terry. I think Quinn is a safe choice, but does Hackett give them a better chance of getting Rodgers? That should play 0% into this.
And I've said that. You can't bring in Nathaniel Hackett just as the carrot to get Aaron Rodgers to come to Denver.
You know when you start planning for life with Aaron Rodgers? When you actually get him.
Yeah.
Because he may not come to Denver. You may be stuck between a draft pick and Drew Lock. Not, oh, which one do we choose? Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. We got to give a rose to one of them. You may not get either. And that should not be at all on George Payton's mind when he talks to any of these head coaches. Like, well, this guy gives us a chance at Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't help at all because he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Brian Gutekunst. Those are the guys you have to deal with. Or he's not Russell Wilson or whoever's in charge,
right.
Pete Carroll, whoever's in charge of the front office up there. Those are the guys that you have to deal with.
And that's why when I say hack it, Aaron Rodgers does not factor into that decision at all. It's the energy that he, I think, would bring to the room, the success he's had with taking a below-average quarterback in Blake Bortles, getting a big season out of him, and some of the successes. Well, like I said, and I agree with what you're saying. There have been plenty of failures, too, for the part of Nathaniel Hackett.
I mean, does he bring tarot cards, too, with his energy? I don't know entirely.
He's got a good aura.
He's got a good aura about him. Is he the only reason the lights come on? Is it that kind of energy? What do we mean?
It's not like a superhero energy. No, he's just a very positive guy. Like I said, the Ted Lasso comparisons that the Apple TV show with Jason
Steve
Sudeikis.
Steve Jobs gets $0 until I die, so yeah. I have not watched it.
So I've watched it.
I have no idea about Ted Lasso.
It's a award. It's an Emmy-winning show. And
good for them.
Jason Sudeikis is great.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're dug in. You're manning your principles.
No, I'm not gonna pay for Apple TV for one show, so...
Well, I watch a lot of other stuff on there, too. So it's not just about just one show. But he has that positive vibe about him. Very, very upbeat. That maybe this is what this team kind of needs. An offensive mind that brings some younger energy into the building.
I'm naturally skeptical, and I've heard can be quite negative. I don't trust people like that, right?
Okay.
That just strikes me as fake. Yeah. Hey, man, it's a great day. There's 11 feet of snow outside.
Well, I don't know.
It's a great time to learn how to shovel.
I can't speak to the level of that it's that bad. That it's okay. Every day is a great day.
Everything is a positive. No, it's not.
No, it's not. I don't know if he's to that extent where he's that annoying. Because I'm with you on that. That annoys the hell out of me.
Put in a 20-hour day in the office, coach. There's four more to work. Come on, buddy.
Come on, let's go.
All right, I'm out of here.
I'll go grab us some Starbucks.
Yeah.
Let's get to work.
Even Starbucks is closed. We can learn how to grow our own coffee then. All right, guys, let's go. Oh, stop.
I don't think it's to that level.
That's gotta be exhausting.
But I think he's a very positive guy, which I think this franchise, this team could probably benefit from. But if you're thinking, oh, Hackett's there, that means Aaron Rodgers is going to want that divorce decree right away from Brian Gutekunst, and he'll want and that leads us to talking about some Aaron Rodgers here for just a moment. Jim and the Buckeye Boy today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Rodgers! This got double check!
Now, the Packers want Rodgers back. Matt LaFleur is saying whatever he needs to go through to make the best decision for himself, and certainly we would love for him to be a Packer and be a Packer to the day he decides to retire. Rodgers made it fairly clear on Saturday, if that involves a rebuild... He's not interested. And the Packers have several big names that they have to make decisions about in regard to their future.
You know, and no cap space to do it. They're $45 million over the cap.
Robert Tonyan, one of his favorite, not a guy that catches a ton of balls, but a guy that Rodgers likes is on that list. There's several other names. Devontae Adams looks like he's probably going to get the franchise tag. So he's not going to be going anywhere.
There's other people that have got to go, though, because that franchise tag is not going to be cheap.
And some of these guys are guys Rodgers likes. And so if they can't satisfy Rodgers by keeping some of these players, then maybe he'll make the push to leave. And maybe it will be Denver. But like I've said before, there's one thing to want Rodgers, the quarterback, the talent. Then there's Rodgers, the guy. The guy that's changed a lot here. I mean, he's always been a bit of a prickly, eccentric kind of guy. But he's become even more that the last 3 years.
Just go to ESPN and read the long form article that somebody did on him.
Yeah.
To where he called out the reporter that retweeted an article about his toe. This one person that retweeted it, and she got death threats, and he's like, hey, well, you know, that's on her.
No, that's like, not on
no,
her.
No, it's death threats from Packers fans. And he's like, well, that's too bad. He refused to apologize even months later. And that's the type of guy that you are going to bring in. And on top of all of that, he's shown there is tangible evidence you cannot plan for the future when he's on your team.
Nope. Because you don't know what the reaction's going to be. Hey, we drafted a quarterback. Oh, how dare you do that? Once again, I've said this before, I'll defend him on he should have been told before they drafted Jordan Love. The Packers owed that to him to tell him, this is what we're going to do and this is why we're going to do it. It was unfair to him that they didn't do that. That being said, to throw the giant hissy fit that he had.
He still handled it like a child.
He still handled it like a petulant child. And
bringing in a 38-year-old quarterback who doesn't want to play just for 1 year, he's going to want some assurances, some guaranteed money. And then how can you build for the future with a guy like that?
And how much autonomy are they going to give him? Because there seems to be the sense that Denver did this for Peyton Manning. They will do this for Aaron Rodgers. To have the kind of authority in the building, the input, right, on what's going on, whether it's
right.
game plan.
Veto power, or, things like that.
Exactly. While Peyton Manning handled that power with great responsibility, going to go a little comic book here.
Well, a little Spider-Man there.
Yeah. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers can handle it with. I don't know if he can handle that kind of responsibility and wield it in a fair manner like Manning did.
Are you willing to take that chance? And then are you willing to take the chance to where if he doesn't handle it well, it absolutely does not stay in the building? It's Tuesday mornings on the Pat McAfee Show every week about how he's disrespected and is my input really being heard if they don't listen to me and don't do what I want them to do? There's a difference between having input and having the final say. He shouldn't have the final say. Some sort of input,
Inputs,
sure.
Veteran guy, absolutely. Same
but
with Russell
Wilson.
A dude
that has not been shown to handle the word no.
Yeah, I just think
And then if Nathaniel Hackett's the head coach, the only reason you're the coach here is because you could bring me along.
Exactly. And he's going to hold... I'm sorry, he's the kind of guy that will hold that against him.
Rodgers is a fantastic idea. In practice, I don't know if you're going to want that.
Yeah. The guy that likes to go on McAfee's show and
wax poetic about whatever.
And be a lightning rod for things on and off the field. I don't... The talent's there. As a Broncos fan, I'd love the talent to come to Denver.
Mm-hmm. But
with the talent comes everything else. And you've got to find a way to be okay with that. Because if there are some things that don't go right, it could be nasty. It could be an ugly situation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of miles of road ahead of us, though, before...
Again in 2 or 3
years.
Yeah,
before we have any... determination in March about what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. I'm just saying you got to be buyer beware a little bit with Aaron Rodgers now. And the way he publicly calls out the way an organization and calls out people, the way the organization, those kind of things. It's fine to have an opinion, right? I don't want anybody to not have an opinion. I may not agree with your opinion, but when, like you made the reference to the reporter who got death threats, when you kind of go, it's not my problem.
Well, that sucks for her.
Well, yeah, but you dumped gas on that fire.
You call her out by name in a press conference and essentially accuse her of writing the piece when she didn't. She just retweeted
it. Just retweeted the thing.
You know, that's not being a grown-up, and that's not being accountable to issues you cause.
Just expect better. From a guy his stature in the league, you just expect him to handle things better than he has. So you got possibility that Rodgers may retire too. That's still, he made that comment that was going to be something that he would be considering in the weeks ahead. And then you have same deal, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Tom Brady on Jim Gray's podcast yesterday. This is a Tom Brady quote. It pains her, Brady's wife, Giselle Bundchen, to see me get hit out there, and she deserves what she needs from me as a husband, and my kids deserve what they need from me as a dad. I would take what he said as, I'm giving this one more ride. 2022 is the farewell tour. And I think I'm done. That's the vibe I get from that. That now the family pressure is starting to mount. He's going to be 45. He's accomplished more than any quarterback has ever accomplished in the league. Yeah, and that old man is still one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Should probably be the MVP this year.
And I just think that when I hear those comments, that now her request from, okay, let's, you have your health.
Mm-hmm.
You're, let's shut it down here. And I think that right now the Buccaneers are trying to decide what that future is going to be. You know, without Tom Brady, if he does indeed decide to call it quits,
yeah,
because all of a sudden they'll be looking for a quarterback too. They'll be in the hunt along with the Steelers and the Broncos, mm-hmm, looking for a quarterback. That, yeah, you know, I think
closer than the Broncos are right now, or the Steelers.
Bucks,
yeah,
yeah, they got good pieces. They've got a great defense and. But they're going to be among now potentially others looking for a quarterback, mm-hmm, and they have a lot of positives to sell. I just think that he'll play one more year.
I get that feeling
because I think he'll want one more crack at it. Right, I want one more shot with this team to go and win a Super Bowl. Rob Gronkowski is supposedly going to make his decision because remember he's been signing 1 year deals.
Yeah,
and maybe Gronk and him just say, look, let's agree. 2022 is going to be it. We're done.
And Gronk said, I believe it was yesterday, that he's not necessarily tied to Brady continuing to play. Yeah. He's willing to play without him.
But I don't know the case of Rob Gronkowski. If physically, he's a smart guy, even though it doesn't always look that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's the character he plays. I think that he'll make a decision. I think Brady will try to encourage him. Hey, let's go out together like Butch and Sundance. I have a feeling that the Gronk may call it quits before Brady does. It wouldn't surprise me for Gronkowski, who's got a lot of other interests to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done here.
Dude hasn't spent any of his football money.
Yeah, so it's not like he needs to keep playing. He still gets plenty of endorsement deals.
Yeah.
So there's no need for that. One final thing NFL-wise. Actually, two more things, excuse me. Sean Payton, we've talked about this, that Sean Payton on vacation right now, and he's given no indication to the Saints that he'll return for a 17th season. And I think he still has a couple of years left on his current contract, but there's a lot of talk that from Jay Glazer and others that Sean Payton may be heading to TV.
Yeah, and Jay Glazer's network, Fox.
That's right. It's a good possibility. Also, I saw this because we talked about the overtime, fixing NFL overtime,
mm-hmm,
piece on The Athletic about this. They have some suggestions. The easy fix, one possession per team. Guarantee that both teams have the ball in overtime, then make it sudden death after that. No one needs a big briefing. It's pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
I kind of like that because that is the easiest fix. You both get the ball one time. Doesn't matter what happens. This is back to where we were before, and then it's done. Each both get the ball one time, and it doesn't matter. If you score a touchdown, great, okay? Then if you don't score a touchdown, you kick a field goal, you can't kick a field goal, tie it, you lose the game. Simple as that.
But what happens if they both kick a field goal, both score a touchdown? Then we're back to the same situation, and then the other team gets it twice, but the first team gets it only once, or... How do you solve that? What if, say we implement that Sunday night, and Buffalo goes right down and scores, and then Kansas City scores again, and they call it the game over? That's not any more fair, because
but you're
Kansas
both getting
City,
the ball though.
But you both got the ball for 60 minutes and you're tied. If the whole point is the other team gets the ball, what if you're still tied in overtime? Is it a tie? No, you got to keep playing. Well then, okay, so Kansas City gets two possessions. We only get one if we're Buffalo. That doesn't solve anything. It just keeps the issue deeper into overtime.
But you can't guarantee more than one possession. say we go, okay, say it's the college rule. I get the ball, I score a touchdown. I've got to score a touchdown. We each get a possession. I didn't match what... It still comes down to the coin flip. It still does, which I don't know if there's any way you ever get around that.
Guaranteeing each team gets a possession doesn't do anything for me, because if Kansas City goes right down and scores a touchdown, game's over. Well, Buffalo didn't get a chance to possess the ball. Okay, so Kansas City had one extra possession. Then Buffalo gets the possession. They go down and score a touchdown. And then Kansas City goes and scores, and it's over. They still get that extra possession, which was the problem in the first place.
But the problem before, though, was that you didn't get a possession. You don't get it. Kansas City scored a touchdown. It's over. You didn't, at least in this, it's not a perfect fix.
In this, all it does is gives the same issue now later in the game if a team scores. If Buffalo goes down and scores, we have not resolved anything by them getting the extra possession, because if Kansas City scores a second touchdown in overtime, and it's like, okay, you had your chance at the football. Well, they got two. Why do I only get one? It's the same problem. Instead of starting overtime,
but I don't know
it's
how,
now deeper in
But
overtime.
I don't know how you make that completely, totally equitable. Because even if you go the college rule, it's still the same thing.
Yeah, but they have it to where eventually you have to start going for two-point conversions.
Right.
And
you do get an extended opportunity, but there, if you go down and you stop them, get the ball back, you win. At least in this, until a better idea comes around, at least you both get the ball. At least you both possess the ball in overtime. And then whatever happens after that happens. And look, spot and choose, we've talked about that. Spot and choose, which the Rams, which the Ravens proposed. So in this case, if the Chiefs, they won the coin toss, they would select the yard line of where to place the ball. The Bills would then decide whether they play offense or defense, depending on the ball placement and faith in its offense or defense. That might be a little more confusing. Another one's been brought up, silent yard auction. The auction concept, it's been around for a long time. And there's an addition, or there's a version of it that they came up with at the University of California, which proposes that each team submit a bid at the beginning of overtime on the yard line where they'd like to start. The team with the closest bid to its own end zone wins and receives the ball first at that yard line. Overtime is sudden death from there. Look, here's the college rule to me is still the best way to go. But I could live with the one possession per team, sudden death after that, because it would be the easiest way to fix it right now. Does it solve it completely and perfectly? No. But this bid thing, holy cow, that just sounds really complicated.
Yeah, that sounds way out of whack.
All right, 828. Can this caller hold on, or do we need to?
I think Dave said he was okay to hang through a break.
Okay, we'll need to take a break. We'll come back and do that. Text or call us today, 970-242-1340, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 831. Jim and the Buckeye Boy. So, who do you want to be the Broncos' next head coach? Who do you think it'll be? I want Nathaniel Hackett. I think it'll be Dan Quinn. You think it should be Dan Quinn, and you think it'll end up being Dan Quinn. All right, so if you've got some thoughts on that today, text or call us, 970-242-1340. Yesterday, we had Maverick basketball on the team. The CMU women had to make up their game with Black Hills State that got postponed due to COVID. No Sophie Anderson yesterday, no Sophie Haddad, both out. And Haddad with the knee injury, we don't know exactly. We'll find out more from Taylor Wagner coming up in the 9 o'clock hour with Mav Day about her condition with her knee. But the Mavericks playing at Black Hills State yesterday, their third game in 4 days after splitting this last weekend at Mines and at Regis. Maverick women falling 68-62. Mariah Martin played every second of the game, 26 points. She had 5 rebounds. Danny Turner had 15 points. And then Kelsey Siemens, 9 points and 13 rebounds as the Mavericks got out-rebounded in the game yesterday. They ended up getting out rebounding the contest yesterday. They ended up both with 35 rebounds each yesterday. My apologies on that. But Black Hill State hit 6 threes yesterday. The Mavericks, they were just 2 of 17 from three-point range yesterday. And so the Maverick women lose to Black Hill State. After the game, Tyler Franson had the chance to talk with CMU women's coach Taylor Wagner.
Coach, let's go ahead. I know this was a tough one for your team tonight. Let's talk a little bit about some of the positives. Mariah Martine getting another tremendous night scoring-wise. She also played all 40 minutes on the floor for your team tonight here. When you're shorthanded, it's nice to know that at least you've got somebody as reliable as she is to at least get you those kinds of minutes on there.
Yeah, she was a bright spot definitely for us. Handled the ball, was able to get herself going, get her teammates going, and that's what we need from those seniors. We just need them to kind of lead us when we get in those tight situations. They've got to step up and play big.
Something that I was noticing in the first half is there seemed to be at least kind of a difference in how your team played versus the first half and the second half, particularly the improvements in the third quarter. What did you tell your team at the locker room when you were down 39-28, and how did you able to mount a comeback when you got back on the floor?
Well, we just weren't playing any defense. We'd let them have 3-point shots. We'd let them have layups, and we just didn't really look motivated out there. And that's what I just told them. I said, hey, we've got to play Maverick basketball and be a little bit more disciplined. And, I thought we came out and they were a little bit more focused. And then, too, when you hit shots, that always gives you a little bit of energy. And we get shots and then a couple more stops, and then we get right back in the game. And we were right in the position to win. We have the ball with, 25 seconds left and a chance to win the game.
Chance to win for sure. One thing, though, that definitely separated your team from Black Hill State tonight, some foul trouble. Monica Brooks fouling out, and I understand a couple other of your players had 4 fouls out there. Sometimes those are the calls that are made out there.
Yeah, it is. And we got to live with it. That's just how it was tonight. I mean, normally we don't foul like this, but this is a typical game when we come up here where it feels like it's a slugfest. So, we have to adjust to the officials and just be a little bit more disciplined on that end.
I want to ask you, this is your third game in a matter of 4 days. Did you feel like your team, it didn't really seem like they were tired or anything like that. It seemed like they were a little bit resilient, even though this was, again, their third game in 4 days.
Yeah, we did come out a little bit flat, I felt like. I thought we would have been fine. We're just, we're missing a couple players. I think that was the biggest thing with, Sav being gone and both Sophies. And the girl that went off for them is who Sophie Anderson guarded the first time. She has 20 tonight. I think she only had a couple points the first time we played them. And that's where, being full strength with all of our girls probably wouldn't have been a big deal if we had everybody, playing all these games. But this is how it's going to be in a regional tournament or even an Elite Eight tournament. You got to play 3 games in 4 days, and so we've got to be ready to do it again. We do it again in a couple weeks, so hopefully we'll learn from this and be able to be full strength, and then also, just come out and not be flat. You can't do that on the road.
Can't do it on the road, but here's the good news for your team. You're back home this Friday and Saturday. What's practice going to look like this week, and what's going to be the mindset going into Friday now that you're finally back home after so long?
Well, our backs are against the wall right now. We've got to come in and play. We can't have any screw-ups and come out and be flat. Next thing every team is good. I know there's a few teams that have poor records, but they've been in so many games and should have beaten some of the top teams. So our mindset is we've got to be ready to go and not overlook any game. One's not more important than the other, and just come out and have a little bit more focus and play a complete game.
All right, there's Taylor Wagner with Tyler Franzen after yesterday's Maverick women's loss at Black Hill State 68-62, as Tyler and both Tyler and Taylor referenced Mavericks back at home Friday hosting Fort Lewis, and then Saturday It's the Blizzard and Brownson presented by Coca-Cola, and they take on Western Colorado. You can hear both of those games, the men and the women, Friday and Saturday on the Team CMU Sports Network. Maverick Basketball brought to you by Ken Richards State Farm Insurance and Taylor Wagner. You heard him there in Memorex. Well, Taylor Wagner Live will join us at 9 o'clock.
He'll be on the air three times in 25 hours.
I know. Might be a new record, potentially, for the program. Possibly so. All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy, text or call us 970-242-1340. Let's get into...
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
All right, L.A. Rams coach Sean McVay, hired at the age of 30. Remember, the Rams hired him as their head coach. And that McVay said he thought that the Rams were insane for hiring him at his age, even though it worked out. Now, chance to get to a second Super Bowl as a head coach. McVay, I can't believe they hired me when I was 30. I mean, that was insane. And they also showed the graphic of the picture of the Washington staff. I saw this.
Yeah, it was loaded.
Matt LaFleur.
Mm-hmm.
Sean McVay.
Yep.
And Kyle Shanahan were all on that staff together at the same time in Washington.
And I think that team went maybe 9-7 with Kirk Cousins.
I know they turned it around.
The offensive coordinator was Sean McVay, so that was after Kyle Shanahan lost. So
yeah, McVay was, I think, the last one to leave, right?
I think so.
Off that staff of those three guys. Now, McVay said he saw the viral video of him, Shanahan, and LaFleur in Washington. He said, I look like I've aged 40 years since then.
2012 Washington team went 10-6 with Kyle Shanahan as the offensive coordinator, Matt LaFleur, quarterback's coach, Mike McDaniel as the offensive assistant, Sean McVay as a tight ends coach, Raheem Morris as the secondary coach.
And it was what, RG3?
Yes.
Was there at that time.
Yeah, that was the RG3 year where he went 9-6, 20 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Not bad.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Think Washington's having some regrets about
it's all coaching.
Not by keeping any one of those guys. All right, second down. The Colts are not exactly expressing a lot of confidence in Carson Wentz, considering how things went. And why would they, to be quite honest? That includes the owner, Jim Irsay, when he's not posting video of his powerlifting days, commenting on his team, tweeting, you can see clear as day in the final 8 NFL teams in the playoffs. You need a quarterback and an offense that can score 30 or more points in regulation and a defense that can hold a team under 30.
Maybe. He's probably right.
Probably right, but...
we know also, he wasn't tweeting on leg day because he doesn't do leg day.
Every day should be leg day, but apparently wasn't for him. But people are interpreting that as, hey, look, our offense can't get it done, and you have to have a quarterback that can make that happen. And the Carson Wentz is not that guy.
Yeah, no, he's definitely not. Third down, new addition to the coaching staff in Tempe for Herm Edwards.
I saw this.
Brian Billick has been doing TV for the last 12 years. And now he is heading to join Herm Edwards, who notably plays to win the game.
Obviously.
At Arizona State. And fourth down. The official term, I believe, is crapload of people that watched the Kansas City Buffalo game. National ratings aren't quite out yet. But for the Kansas City metro area, the Buffalo KC game averaged a 55.3 rating and an 85 share. The game peaked at a 90 share at 8:45 Central, 7:45 our time, which was right about the end of the fourth quarter. A 90 share means 90% of the televisions that were on in Kansas City were watching that game. That is officially a crapload of people.
And I will say the national numbers are probably going to be
pretty good. Not 90.
Phenomenal.
But pretty good.
But pretty good. Not 90, but pretty good. Once again, so much for nobody's watching the NFL anymore.
Yeah.
Or listening to the NFL anymore.
That was a good game.
That was a fantastic game.
It was on yesterday on NFL Network yesterday afternoon. I'm like, yeah, sure. I flipped it on for another 20 minutes.
I still think the Mahomes-Josh Allen interaction, that was pretty cool at the end of the game. Pretty cool on Patrick Mahomes' part. Those guys have a lot of respect for each other.
And we talked Jimmy G beating Aaron Rodgers. Patrick Mahomes threw for more yards after the two-minute warning than Jimmy G did all day Saturday. Just throw that back out there again. So I'm not sure about Jim Irsay. He's a great quarterback, but good defense.
Good defense. An offense that was good enough to get him in field goal range and got the job done. And a big miscue by the Packers punt team. Big miscue. All right, 8:43. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And coming up next, we'll talk about the Hall of Fame voting tonight, about Todd Helton. Also, the negotiations between the owners and the players. It's not off to a sensational start in New York. But at least they're talking. That's something. All right, time to play Stadium Cinema.
Know your sports TV shows and movies? Let's play Stadium Cinema on the team.
All right, up for grabs for you today, a small antipasto salad, courtesy of our friends at Junction Square, and I want this sports movie.
Tyler.
Coach.
Shut him up. Hard.
There you go.
First correct answer wins on the text line.
Text 970.
Yeah, text only. 970-242-1340. If you've won the last 2 weeks, you have to sit it out. Text your answer in looking for the movie. 970-242-1340. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more.
Stay by the radio. You are listening to the Jim Davis Show on the team. 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction.
Welcome back, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. Who do you want to be the Broncos' next head coach? Who do you think it'll be? Dan Quinn, Nathaniel Hackett, Kevin O'Connell. Text in today, 970-242-1340. Let's see. Dylan wants Raheem Morris from the Rams. Okay, I understand why he's... I certainly felt like didn't get a particularly fair shake when he was in Tampa Bay. But he's not on the list, though. I mean, they're down to their what we view. These are going to be the three guys that they're picking from. Because we're not hearing that they're going to interview anybody else at this point. They're conducting now second interviews. And so, I wanted them to talk to Doug Peterson. I wanted them to talk to Brian Flores. You felt the same way.
Yes, absolutely.
But we're now dealing down to these are the three guys that they're considering for the job. We have not heard there are going to be any other interviews in this, right?
Not that I've heard.
This is it. So, also, I think, let's see. Also, he would pick, of the three, he'd pick Quinn. Avs are going to be fine. He's talking about Raheem Morris.
Mm-hmm.
Heard something the other day that he's had experience coaching all three phases, even though he's never been a head coach. He was a head coach.
He was a head coach in Tampa for a bit.
Yeah, for a couple of years. Terry, I think Quinn is a safe choice, but does Hackett give them a better chance of getting Rodgers? I'm sure some will view it that way, but that's not the reason you should hire him. From Eli today, all four head coaches left in the playoffs are offensive-minded coaches. Three young, brilliant minds in there, Hackett or O'Connell. Please. How also do we know that a Hackett deal isn't done? Well, they're going to interview Dan Quinn. We know that. They plan on talking to O'Connell again. So, Eli, we can do is assume that because they're still interviewing guys, that there's no deal done yet. One from Jeff. After months of dealing with Aaron Rodgers' baggage, how bad could it have been with Deshaun Watson? Or do we need to drop out of those markets and maybe settle for somebody like Tua? The Stafford trade looks pretty good now, but I think Stafford has a lot more character than Rodgers. It's costly. Love you guys. Debates like this morning.
It would have been much worse with Deshaun Watson. Let's just put Aaron Rodgers is kind of questionable character-wise, but he does still live his life within the bounds of the law.
Right. So, he is not...
Under criminal investigation for jaywalking.
Outside of maybe he had a parking ticket. I'm sure maybe at some point he had a speeding ticket. That's not like having 21, 22 women accuse you of sexual assault.
Yeah. I understand what you're trying to say, but Deshaun Watson would be way worse.
Way worse.
As far as Tua, I don't know.
can't say I've been dazzled so far.
He has helped them get to above 500 record as a pro.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be willing to take a flyer on him, I think, if that's in the offing for the Broncos. All right, so Major League Baseball, the owners met with the players yesterday to try to get a collective bargaining agreement hammered out.
Mm-hmm.
There are reports that the owners are saying, look, if we lose games, we are not going to back down on certain key issues here. And if that means losing games to accomplish that, they're willing to do that. We also had the comment that supposedly came from Dick Monfort yesterday about how the owners are kind of crying poverty about certain things, additional security, COVID issues that have caused them to spend more money. Monfort is the chair of MLB's Labor Policy Committee, and the Player Association, the union was not happy about some of his comments that he made yesterday about the owners crying poverty, how tough it is right now to own a Major League Baseball team. But during Monday's meeting, Players Association did drop its request to introduce an age-based free agency system, withdrawing a proposal in one of the three major areas MLB has shown no interest in changing. And that means the amount of service time it takes a player to reach free agency, 6 years, is most likely going to remain unchanged whenever the sides reach a new deal. Players had previously proposed a system to get some players to free agency after 5 years if they had reached a certain age, 30 and a half, and then eventually 29 and a half. Now, Deputy Commissioner Dan Hallam, according to The Athletic, said that MLB is willing to lose games over some of the outstanding issues that the sides have. And this is according to, like I said, from The Athletic. It's not clear whether Hallam was just issuing a kind of a hollow threat or stating the obvious that that's what's going to happen between the two sides. It doesn't sound great, right?
It doesn't sound promising to get underway on time.
But at least I guess the good thing is that they're talking, right? They're meeting again today. They met yesterday. And, you know, but we have spring training mid-February. Pitchers and catchers. That's very fast approaching on the horizon. Not the way it's looking. You know, for the union, it wasn't easy for them to step away from the service time proposal. Yet the three topics MLB has said it will not negotiate over: time to free agency, time to arbitration, and revenue sharing between teams. That those are three areas MLB, the owners, have not even going to talk about it. Don't even bring it to the table. You're wasting your time. You're wasting our time.
And they knew that. And they still tried to get that.
Still tried to sneak it in
the last couple of days. Like, come on, guys.
All right, so we have the negotiations going on. And then tonight, the Hall of Fame will be announced of who goes into Cooperstown this year.
Probably via a fax, because MLB never misses a chance to miss a chance.
And I was looking on The Athletic, and it's the ballot submitted by Jason Stark.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason Stark, on his ballot, has voted for Todd Helton. And he gives the reasons why he thinks Helton should be in Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame. He goes, A, Coors Field does not turn everybody in a purple cap into Ted Williams. And B, we can thank Larry Walker for proving that just because you ever made a call from the 303 area code, you're not instantly disqualified from being elected to the Hall of Fame. And he goes through, you know, here the facts say Helton finished his career with a spectacular 316, 414, 539 slash line. And here's others that, with at least 5,000 plate appearances, have those numbers: Ty Cobb, Rogers Hornsby, Ted Williams, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Stan Musial, Jimmy Fox.
I think the one thing all those guys have in common is enshrinement in Cooperstown, right?
That would be correct.
Yeah. Baseball Hall of Fame tracker tracking ballots has 49 ballots known, 49% of the ballots known. They have three Hall of Famers right now: Ortiz, Bonds, and Clemens making it in, with Scott Rolen, Curt Schilling, and Todd Helton the only other three guys north of 50%.
And Jason Stark did vote for Bonds and Clemens.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Schilling too, but I know he voted for Bonds and Clemens. So we'll find out tonight, right?
Yep.
We'll find out if Todd Helton gets in, if Bonds and Clemens and Schilling get into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. All right, next hour, it's Mav Day. Text or call us 970-242-1340. And I want to talk about Cut House Fitness because they're introducing the 12 Weeks to Clean House program from Cut House Fitness. It's a 12-week program including one-on-one nutritional coaching and personal training, all for a special price. The program's customized to you and what your fitness needs and goals are. Be the best you in 2022. Get started with the 12 Weeks to Clean House program. Stop by Cut House Fitness in Mesa Mall. They're near Dillard's, or visit cuthousefitness.com. That's cutthausefitness.com to get started. Because what they do there, like I've said before about Cut House, it's great. They don't have a cookie cutter, one size fits all fitness program for you. They tailor it to what your needs are, what you feel like are the things that you want to improve on in your fitness regimen. Here's something else you can get involved with too if you've been working out or even just starting out. The Burpee Challenge. 10 cents for every burpee in 10 minutes goes to a nonprofit each month. The Burpee Challenge happens on the last Monday of every month, and you can send a time lapse on Instagram. Anyone can participate in the Burpee Challenge. But make sure you start on the path to being the best you. Get over to Cut House Fitness in the Dillard's Wing at Mesa Mall, or go online to cuthousefitness.com. That is cuthousefitness.com, and start being a better you in 2022.